Ha! Let's go to Isaiah 57.
Oh, just missed it.
I think we should ban computer Bibles.
Then we'd have to ban the blue letter Bible that you use every morning.
Ban them in here.
Just in this room.
I think we should see if that works.
What?
Banning computer Bibles.
Oh. Did I turn this on? I did.
Yeah.
Isaiah 57? That's right. Right after Isaiah 56. All right.
Scrolls. Yeah, we surely should have scrolls, you know, written in blood.
This is the what I used to call the Buckner chapter of the Bible, and I still do. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And the merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. I just remembered our one of our people here. We went to Oklahoma just about, it seems like every day, but it was not that often. And every time we'd go out, we'd pass this forest of trees. And I quoted this to Mr. the guy we're not identified.
To me, he talked about
I was just waiting for him to do that. All right.
Well, you quoted what?
Yeah.
You got to finish what you were saying.
What did we just read?
He told me I fornicated under every one of those green trees. I told him if I'd done it, I would remember.
You remember what? But you remember what our definition of fornication is? In the scriptures, it's going anywhere other than God for your substance.
Oh.
And satisfaction. All right. In verse 5, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. Not even know where it is. All right, you've got it. You want to talk about your green trees? Slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them that has poured out a drink offering. And hast offered a meat offering, should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifices. Now, that particular one is your excuse me. The high and lofty mountain is where you set up your bed. The meaning of that is that your real worship is in your head, in your mind, and you're considering all the plans for the next day and all the things you're going to do. And that's what this means. It means, upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed, even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifices. And you're offering sacrifices because you're planning what it's going to cost you to get that thing that you're doing. Or what, you understand? Basically, I don't want to go through this a thousand times again, but anybody doesn't understand what that means. Okay. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou went to the king with ointment and did increase thy perfumes and didst send to thy messengers far off and did debase thyself even unto hell. Now this is the part that we got to get to, and this part is just sort of trying to scare you a little bit. Now it's the facts. Thou art worried in the greatness of your way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of thine own hand. Therefore, thou wast not grieved. I was just talking about, think of the thousands and thousands of times, at least for me, I was, you know, this whole thing called life, I didn't want to commit suicide because there were some things I liked, but the idea of just this weariness and crap, and then you sit up and you think of some new thing to do to feel like you had some sustenance. And maybe none of you went through that, but this is why this is so important to me, and I'm going to read it again. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou hast not grieved. You're getting what he's saying? You went through, and everything is wrong, everything's right, and it was a perfect opportunity to seek after God, but instead, you leaned on your own right arm of understanding and thought up something new to do. Yeah. Anybody guilty of that?
I've done it once or twice.
Huh?
I've done it once or twice.
I figured. I appreciate your honesty.
I know.
And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou last lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest, but still thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let the companies, or all your buddies, or whatever, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Now, this is one of those things that it starts out wide and it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. I mean, so that, just think how often you think of some new thing to do or some new thing you want to do, or it's never ending. Amen.
And I was just thinking that when it's not just I want to have new things to do, the world is busy trying to find new things for you to want to do, so it can keep you distracted. I mean, it's both sides of that coin.
I didn't understand a word you said. I'm serious. I didn't. What did you compare?
Finding new things to do. I mean, you can find your own things to do, or your wife can move out, and you've got a house to repair and try to make into a, you know, there are things, the world will find things for you to do to try to keep you in this place where you're, you know, got the companies that you're all constantly going from one to another.
Okay. I agree. I understand now. Thank you. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away, and vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me, and it's exclusive. I mean, it's not, you know, we don't have the English words to. It's he who puts his only in me. It's nothing else. No leaning on your arm of understanding for anything.
It's not last resort.
What?
You don't put your trust in God as the last resort.
Yeah, because that kind of, by the time you get to him, he's forgot what you wanted to do in the first place. All right. Did I just read 13?
Yeah.
Okay. And she'll say, cast you up. Cast you up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Now, that's, we've talked about this often, but I mean, this thing about constantly thinking of crap to do, and it never satisfies. Just the next, it makes you have to think up something bigger than the last one. Is that communicating? Now, God's busting you for it, but you have to do that. You have to come to the end of your own understanding in order to truly trust in Him, because your mind is constantly trying to block that from occurring. Now, and He's doing the will of God, because you have to be broken. I mean, the world is doing the will of God, because each of us have to be broken and see the vanity of everything before we truly come to Him. But now we have religions that come to Him so you can be happy and fulfill all your dreams. And I mean, it's 10,000 times worse than the crap that was done back in the day of Christ and the prophets. But now they're all doing it in the name of God. There seems to be the Joel Osteens of the world are just, they're multiplying like rabbits. You know what I mean about, he's not a preacher, he's a cheerleader. And every once in a while he puts God in there or something. But
well, and, you know, you were talking about bigger and better things. I mean, our whole life is like that sometimes. You know, I've got to get the bigger house, the better job, the larger paycheck, the bigger TV, better vacation, bigger jet, you know. From them to the bottom. You know, it's always, I got to have the next bigger thing because the last bigger thing didn't satisfy.
Well, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Well, there's one thing that Duplantis said recently, or not recently, I watched it. He said, it's okay for non-believers to have financial prosperity to be, but it's not okay for believers.
He said it's not okay for believers to have financial.
He said it's okay for non-believers, non-believers or secularists to be rich, but what's wrong with believers being rich?
Oh, yeah, okay.
comparison.
What? Well, the one that gets me is.
He was adamant about it.
You know? No, but there.
Jesse Duplantis, the Raging Cajun.
The Raging Cajun?
Yeah.
Is that what he calls himself, or is that what you invented?
That's what I invented.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
Well, let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. Coming up. I've got to get a new Bible. No, never mind. I should have said that.
I got a new laptop 4 years ago. Still not using it.
Do you have to tell everything?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's not everything. Everything that's in to be shot from the mountaintop. Just
find it and wreck it.
To everything there is a season. And don't anybody start singing.
Where are you?
Chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there, and there's people who make songs about that. This, I figured you knew that. I'm surprised I knew it. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to heal, to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath thee that worketh in that wherewith he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh. From the beginning to the end, I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all that is labor, of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from him. And God doeth it that men should fear him. That which hath been is now. That which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now we're reading that because of the time, the eternity business. And the same thing it said in what we just read in Isaiah. And the word in Hebrew for this eternity is olam, and literally it means the vanishing point. Eternity in our minds we think of, it means it's going to last a long, long, long time. In Hebrew, the same word, I mean if you translate it directly, means that end could come any split second. And that was the word olam. Now, he has set olam in our hearts. But what does that say?
Yeah, it set the world in our heart, and it's that word olam right there in verse 11. Yeah.
All right. So what's going on here? What's so bad about? He said everything is necessary for a time. for a season, a time to give, and a time to, well, all of it. The point of here that I'm trying to make is that you can't really become, how can I say it? From God's standpoint, in terms of the meaning of the word, you can't have peace as long as there's something left for you to, or that you have to, or that you think you should. There's never peace. And it's interesting. The Greek word for peace is Irene. And it's like my favorite, my mother's aunt, my mother's sister, the younger sister. I was madly in love with her when I didn't even know what love was. I mean, she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And so I'm just a little kid. And so my mother tells me that she's decided, not my mother, her sister, decided to go to beauty school. And I could, that just blew my mind because I didn't think anyone could be any more beautiful than she was, and how are you going to go to school to get it? But the whole idea is that for me, she was perfection at that young age. It wasn't sexual. I didn't even know about it back then. But you see, it's like in a kind of a weird analogy. For me, she was the eternity in my heart, and it lasted a long, long time. But we all have this thing that we have something deep, deep down that we still. It's like we all are going all different ways until we can see and understand and set eternity in our hearts. In other words, that there's no more past, there's no more future, there's only the eternal now. And that's what this whole Bible is about, is living at an eternal now. Not wasting time worrying about what you used to do or what am I going to do. You have eternity in your heart, and you have that capacity just to call out all the ideas and great plans and just throw them in a fire. They're less than vanity.
It's that pearl of great price thing where you sell everything you have to get the one pearl that you really want, and everything else is there, meaninglessness next to it.
Right, the pearl is the seed of Christ, and it's already, we've got it, all men have it. It's funny, I think we've talked about this before, but in the last few years in Africa, there's this spreading rapidly. Christianity is, and it's in Nigeria. It's Isi, is, I think. No, that's Arabic. Well, maybe that's Arabic in Nigeria, but Isi is the name for Jesus in that. But Isi is just multiplying all over Africa. And now in India too is going on. It seems like they're now sending evangelists to America, which is kind of neat.
Arabic is Issa.
Huh? Issa.
Issa. So it's almost certainly derived.
Yeah. But it's the point of it is he set eternity in their hearts, and once you understand what that means. Then the revelation of Christ is automatic as breathing, and the same is true in living it. If eternity is set in your heart, you're not going off in 15 tangents and 23 plans and do. It's never ending. And this is what really the meaning of living, and I said all this to say this. This is really what the meaning of peace is. The idea that you can be at rest. You can never again need to lean on your own arm of understanding about what you're going to do and what's this is going to happen. And the way you live it is faith. And that's radical. You know, I used to think that the ideal place for me was, I have this, where I grew up in Arizona, this little box canyon that I've talked about before, but you can't see it, you can't find it. It's like a secret little, well, my friend Rumpel and I found it, and it's got a waterfall there, and it's just unbelievably beautiful. And there's a mountain lions that have every time we've been, we've seen one or more mountain lions. And they take advantage of this. It's this secret place. And we pan for gold in the stream below the... And, you know, you could easily make $1,000 a day in now today's idea of what gold goes for. But it's just, to me, that was my idyllic place long before I was a believer. But that place almost was a picture of what you know, it was this, I don't know even how to talk about it, but it was desert with all kinds of greenery around it, but yet next door was, it was desert that had all the greenery, but next door it was all desert and cactus, and here there were these beautiful trees, and you know, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven with that place. But it's the idea that there's total rest, that you never again have to consider some angst, that you forgive, and this, you forgive everyone from the heart. And to forgive from the heart, and that's a specific way thing you have to see, it's you forgive from the heart when you give, how can I say it? I'm sorry, I'm having a mental lapse. Well, I've talked to him many times.
And forgive from the heart when you recognize the right of that.
Oh, for the thing to
done.
Right, for it to have happened, that it needed to be happened. In terms of things we may not understand yet, everything, every time somebody has done something bad to you, you forgive them from the heart. Because it may turn into be that it's exactly what God needed to cause you to come to the end of that kind of crap. You know, I tell you what, if I weren't a believer and I mean, there's so many people that just don't like me and talk about it all the time. I mean, and then the internet. I'm never again going to look up my name on the internet. I mean, it was just depressing.
Yeah, the internet is depressing. It can be real depressing.
But anyway, I'm sorry for going off on those tangents, but I just felt like going off on those tangents. Anybody have any reaction to anything? All right, that's the notification.
Amen.
Take it, big guy. Who's all? Are you going to? You and Carolyn going to the? Pete, where's Pete? Where are you?
I'm going.
Can I go with you?
Yeah. Carol's not going. I'm going.
You want to ride with us?
As long as you ride with me, I'm taking Lisa. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going with Pete.
Okay. Okay, I need to ride. Yeah.
All right. All right.
We're going to
Where is it?
You want to go?
Yes.
Okay. Well, where's the funeral?
At
fits in perfect.
We'll be gone about. I mean, it didn't.
I gotta get my. I'll be back. I gotta go get my stuff.
Well,
hey Pete,
can we get a key, his key, the key for the thing? He's got to go get his stuff. And we'll be gone when he to the back house.
The back house? No, I'm not sure that.
You gotta talk to Pete. He was saying that work was standing.
I think Scott and Carol.
Because about the stain. You said they wanted to sleep together. Mm-hmm. But tell Pete what you were telling me.
Well, I tell Pete too. I mean, the idea of them being in the same. They're not marrying, like sleeping together. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's going back there. They've already taken care of something.
Oh, so the relatives have already taken care of it.
Somebody's taking care of it. I don't know what it is.
No one's told me, so.
Huh?
No one's told me that I'll find a place for one of them if it's needed.
Yeah, I think what, I may have just heard this by rumor, but I think that's what the relatives is intended. She would be up there.
Yeah, let me just check with John Drosan real quick and then give him a key.
We'll give him the key anyway.
Make sure that the.
How long are they going to be here?
Days.
Well,
Scott and Carol will be here for days. I feel weird about doing it without talking to them and seeing what the plans are, what they're, you know. I know that. Tom said that he's got an extra room for Glenn, if necessary. But let me check.
Hear me.
Yeah, okay.
I am not, it's just not only me it bothers, it's others.